This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 118 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I know the last couple of episodes I've talked about Christmas time, which once again, hope y'all had a nice Christmas, but it's the most wonderful time of the year, all that jazz. But all kidding aside, this week might be the most wonderful time of year, might be the most wonderful week of the year. I mean, you either have this week off from work, but if you don't, this week is just a total joke where you can mail it in and you can say, I'll get back to it after the holidays, I'll check back in after the new year, blah, blah, blah. So you're not really working, right? Then you have bowl games on, Bowl Mania, basically every day, two or three games. And then you have college basketball, too. And we're not even talking about professional sports as well. So it's just a fantastic week where ideally you should be doing little to no real work. And you're really just putting your feet up, eating leftovers, drinking, and chilling. And then from a South Carolina Gamecocks perspective, you get to enjoy all that, the major sports are back in action at Carolina, and we get to talk Gamecock football again on the podcast, which is just fantastic. So in that same vein, the main focus of this episode will be the bowl game preview. I also have my New Year's six-pack of picks, but let's start things off with previewing this week in basketball, as both teams are back in action. So starting off here with the women's team, the ladies are back in action and open SEC play Thursday night at home against Texas A&M. So jumping right back into it after the Christmas break here, A&M, you know, they've had a little bit of a rough start to the season, to say the least. The Aggies are 5-5 on the year, and they have just had some bad losses when you look at their schedule, just to lesser competition, to say the least. I think they might have lost to Rice. I mean, no disrespect to Rice. Maybe they have a good squad, but I don't think an SEC school that's trying to have a decent program should lose to Rice. It's just one of those deals. But if you're Dawn Staley, you probably look at this matchup as a ideal way to dip your toes back into the SEC waters while at home as well. I think the students are still on break, but I would think there'd be a solid crowd for this one. It's a Thursday night at home still, right? But it's nice to start your SEC play against a team that's struggling a little bit, kind of just get back into that groove as opposed to diving right in against, say, an LSU, right? So my crow to the game here is just control the offensive glass. Now, the bigs remain a strength for the Gamecocks, and when you get into SEC play, being able to get those second chances on offense, it's simply the best, right? It's a great song, but it's simply the best way to tear down and wear down your opponent, ultimately get those opportunities to score again, and then hopefully you score more than your opponent and you win the ball game. But like I said, it's just exciting to be back into SEC play. We have a very competitive league. We take pride in it, and it just makes for exciting matchups. And this is where you can start to see those rotations and everything take shape in these close competitive games. So we'll just be fun to watch and really gear up towards, you know, the big matchups and the big tournaments here. And then moving over to men's basketball, which, while the name might not be exciting, it's a sneaky, exciting game because the guys are back in action Friday night, 7 p.m., I believe, at home as well, but it's after the bowl game. So Friday, y'all, we have a full-on day of Gamecock sports. You can ride that buzz from the bowl game right into Gamecock men's basketball as they take on Eastern Michigan in Colonial Life. So Friday's a fantastic day. What a way to end the week. Jeez, love it. Now, Eastern Michigan is 3-9 overall. They are scoring about 75 points per game, but are giving up an average of 81. So it kind of explains their record sitting at 3-9. Also, incredibly random, but Imani Bates plays for Eastern Michigan. I mean, I don't know how close y'all follow college basketball, but he was heavily recruited coming into college. I guess he's bounced around a little bit and has landed at Eastern Michigan somehow. So you're going to have two guys with him and GG Jackson basically facing off, two guys who were top of their class coming into college. But for this crow to the game here, you know, it's as simple as slow down Bates, right? Slow down Imani Bates. You know, he and GG will be battling it out, especially down low for rebounds. So if the Gamecocks can slow him down and hold him below his average of 19 points per game, then I would imagine South Carolina should be in fantastic position to win this game here. And also, this game is big because the team is coming off that nice win against Western Kentucky, but after this, the men start SEC play, so you got to take advantage of these lesser competition games and try to get as much momentum as you possibly can going into league play. But without further ado, let's turn our focus to the football team and the Gator Bowl preview. Long awaited. It is so nice to finally have this game here. South Carolina is taking on the 21st-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish Friday afternoon, 3:30 kickoff, which I don't think you can get much better than a 3:30 kick. I mean, it's just the best, especially when it's away, right? If you're going to the game at Williams-Brice, of course you want a night game, but 3:30 as a fan, that is fantastic. But nevertheless, both teams are sitting at 8-4, so a ninth win is up for grabs for both teams. And just for the Gamecocks, man, getting to 9 wins would be absolutely phenomenal. I mean, wouldn't it, y'all? And it would have to go down as one of the best finishes to a season in program history. I mean, right? I don't know if I can really sit down right now and say the best finish. You know, we've had some fantastic ones, but coming off those back-to-back top 10 wins to get to the 8th win and the Gator Bowl, to secure a 9th win would just be simply fantastic. As it stands right now, the Gamecocks are sitting as 2-point underdogs, might be 2.5 depending on where you look, but what is South Carolina looking at in Notre Dame? So the Irish are under first-year head coach Marcus Freeman, who he had some growing pains, for sure. You know, they had that rough start to the year. Remember, they were upset by Marshall, I think, in the second game. But the Irish finished the year strong, winning the last four out of five, and most of them they won pretty convincingly. And they actually had a very nice convincing win over Clemson as well. So in addition to the Gator Bowl, this game is also known as the Trigger a Clemson Fan Bowl because, you know, we both ruined their season. So that's kind of fun. We can shake hands on that one. But on the year, Notre Dame averaged 30.7 points per game compared to South Carolina's 31.7 per game. So very, very comparable. And the Irish allowed only 21.8 points per game. That's a lot of point. 21.8 points per game compared to Carolina's 27.5. So, you know, when you see those numbers, it really makes sense that the spread is so close and why both of these teams have the same record and are super close in the rankings, 19 and 21. And it's funny because, you know, both programs this season had a couple of ugly losses, bad losses, but both were able to right the ship at the end of the year and have some momentum going into this bowl game. Although I do believe the Irish lost their last game at the year to Southern Cal. So we got that going for us. But something to be aware of is the transfer and opt-out situation for Notre Dame. I believe they are expecting, it's reported that there's going to be a couple of more guys out, but the ones that we know are some serious players for them. So their starting quarterback entered the transfer portal. Their starting quarterback is going to be out. And, you know, all he did this year was throw for 22 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Sheesh. So this is a huge gap for them, losing their leader, their quarterback. And then their leading receiver, who is their starting tight end, opted out to prepare for the NFL. He had a nice year himself, 809 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns on the year. And by all accounts, he was their best receiver of any kind, including wide receivers. So their tight end is out of there. And then their starting edge rusher and one of their most productive players on defense also has opted out. So we all know the gaps in South Carolina's roster because of opt-outs and things like that. But there are certainly going to be holes on the Notre Dame side of things that you best believe Shane Beamer and company are going to try and exploit. And my opinion, it really allows Clayton White to game plan defensively in probably what would be a more simple way, because it's a safe bet that the Irish will lean heavily on the run, and now you don't have to worry about the nightmare matchup that was their tight end. Which brings me to the crows of the game for this bowl game here. So, overall for the team here, keep playing and coaching with that chip on your shoulder, right? So, I mean, despite the end results of the last two games of the year, every quote-unquote expert was counting South Carolina out, saying that they have no chance, they're not together, blah, 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 right? And we know how it went. This team knew that they had the dudes to get it done, so they came together, kept the game plan simple, and they didn't take any shit from anybody, and they went out there and got those upset wins. So here we are yet again. South Carolina is viewed as an underdog according to Vegas with the spread, but also there are a ton of people pointing out reasons why, that Carolina simply should not be in this game. They're going to say the opt-outs, the transfers, they're all starters, right? You had a shakeup on the offensive staff. You're without your OC, you know? But this team has to go out there and just say, screw them. We've been counted out in a bowl game before, and we turned that on their head, so let's go out and do it again. Now, on the offensive side of the ball here, my first crow is find someone to step up as wide receiver 2. We know what Juice Wells brings to the table. And I think because of that, the Irish will no doubt key in on him. But with Van, Brooks, Stogner, Bell all away from the team, someone else needs to emerge as a legitimate second option for Rattler. Could that be a Xavier Legette? Could it be a Marion Brown? Dak Joyner? Maybe Nate Adkins has another big game? Or maybe we even see a young guy that was previously low on the depth chart emerge. Maybe a guy like Omega Blake or Landon Sampson even. But whoever it is, that person needs to deliver. And they need to deliver a very good game because in order for this offense to continue to be as efficient as we had seen, there just simply needs to be contributions from outside of Juice. Which brings me to my second quote of the game, which is, be creative in the run game. So just as the pass game, get creative in the run game. It's great to have Juju and CBS back there, but that room is thin, even beyond Lloyd leaving, right? And while I do believe these two guys can deliver and are a solid 1-2 punch, this game is, you know, you need to throw in some wrinkles into that that aspect of the offense. So I would love to see some jet sweeps, some pop passes, get that lateral run game going. And also, you know, I would love to see and do expect to see a good dose of the Wildcock led by Joyner. It's not going to be out of necessity like it was in the Mayo Bowl, but those packages have been successful, and I honestly feel like they energized the team. So I would love to see Joyner get at least 10 plays where he's the quarterback and has a legit chance to run RPOs and things like that. And my third crow to the game on the offense is just keep the game plan simple. I mean, we saw the good things that happened when you did that at the end of the year. Not as many formations, not as many personnel packages. So whoever is in charge of the offense for this game needs to bring that same energy. Which brings me to the defensive side of the ball here. My first crow is, you know, similar to the first crow on the offense, someone in the defensive backfield needs to step up and deliver in a huge way, you know, in lieu of this less depth that we have, right? Now, looking specifically at corner, the only guy with serious playing time is Marcellus Dial. And better yet, he's the only upperclassman in the whole defensive backfield that's listed on the two deep. So someone needs to step in and fill that void left by Smith and Rush. Keenan Nelson is a guy to keep an eye out for. Personally, I love the idea of seeing Anthony Rose. But you got a guy also like O'Donnell Fortune, who's been with the program for a little bit. He's flashed at times, so maybe this is a game where he shines, right? My second crow for the defense here is get the Notre Dame quarterback off rhythm. Obviously, I mentioned it at the top, but they're without their starting quarterback, so their new starter is sophomore Tyler Buchner. Buchner, whatever. And, you know, he has played for them in the past a little bit. He only had 50 attempts total this year, and he's just simply inexperienced when you're talking about playing time. So South Carolina needs to key in on him and not let him settle into any sort of groove. I fully think that Clayton White is going to, he's going to have to keep the looks simple because of the new faces and youth that will be playing, but he shouldn't be afraid to dial up unique blitzes, things like that. And I think the Irish will definitely lean on their running game. So it needs to be imperative that whenever Notre Dame drops back to pass, that he is rushed, hit, put on the ground, anything to throw this guy off his timing. But overall for the game here, you know, despite Cam Smith not being with the team, this is a drop yo nuts type of moment, right? I mean, this team has to rally together and look at each other and say, hey, we did some historic things together and we have a great, talented locker room with everyone. And you got to just go out there and bring that next man up mentality and just go out and play ball, right? The formula needs to stay the same that we've seen this year. Defensively, you can't let up multiple scores in those first opening couple of drives, right? Because despite what we saw those last 2 weeks, this offense, it may take a second to gel and settle in because of the guys in new spots and things like that. You know, but on that offensive side of the ball, same formula. Play clean. There you go. Keep things simple. Get the ball to your best players and move at a good pace that gets guys in a rhythm but doesn't allow Notre Dame to get too settled. And I really think this is another close game for the Gamecocks. I do think that the lack of depth in the defense will rear its head a couple of times, but Clayton White has shown the ability to adjust well in game. I think the offense does find its footing fairly well, and we do see some wrinkles thrown in there to keep the Irish off balance. But, you know, anytime you return your star quarterback and receiver, that has to make you feel good, right? And then looking at the other side where they're missing their star quarterback and wide receiver, it's just, I think that will make itself clear, especially later in the game. And to me, this feels like a field goal or some sort of special teams play makes the difference for Carolina. So buckle up, get excited, let's go Cox, and let's go win ourselves a bowl game, huh? How about that? Which brings me to my six pack of picks, and then we'll wrap things up here. This is the special edition. Normally it's six random games. This is the New Year six games. Got the New Year six pack of picks here. So starting with the Shane Beamer Bowl, a.k.a. the Orange Bowl. Tennessee versus Clemson. Give me the under at 63.5. Sugar Bowl, Alabama. I'm going -6.5 versus Kansas State. Cotton Bowl, Tulane versus Southern Cal. Going -2 on Southern Cal. Rose Bowl, give me Penn State +2.5 versus Utah. And then the college football semifinal Fiesta Bowl, TCU versus Michigan, I'm going over 58.5. And then college football semi at the Peach Bowl, Ohio State versus Georgia, I'm going dogs -6.5. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you listen. I appreciate all y'all. Happy New Year. Go Cox.